Blog Talk Radio.
And now, the part of the brain, performed by the brain.
Yeah. Neocortex, frontal lobe.
Brainstem, brainstem.
Hippocampus, neural node, right hemisphere. Pons and cortex, visual.
Brainstem, brainstem.
Sylvian Fisher, pineal, left hemisphere. Cerebellum, left. Cerebellum, right. Synapse, hypothalamus, striatum, dendrite. Axon fibers, matter gray.
Brainstem, brainstem.
Central tegmental pathway, temporal lobe. White core matter, forebrain skull.
Brainstem, brainstem.
Central fissure, cord spinal, parietal. Diameter, meningeal vein. Medulla oblongata and lobe limbic. Microelectrodes. The brain. That ought to keep the little squirts happy. Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Father, we thank you for allowing us to see another day. We ask, Father, that you forgive us for our sins and that you hear our prayer. Father, thank you for the Shabbat. Thank you, Father, for protecting us as you let your elements fly. Let the wonders of the heavens be seen by all. And you scared me, Abba. I'm going to admit, I am afraid of lightning. But Father, your will be done. You protected us through the lightning, through the thunder, the rain, the flooding, and all that. But thank you. Father, we ask that you continue to protect us as we go out into this world, not today, but upcoming. Protect us in our jaws, protect our thoughts, protect our path, Father, on your straight and narrow. Father, we ask that you continue to heal us also, Father. Continue to heal our Ema, Ema Deborah. Continue to comfort Ema Cheryl, our brother Yaquiel. Continue to heal continue to heal our brother Shabbael. Anybody who's hurting physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, Father, continue to heal them, Father. We thank you, Father, for the good times. We thank you for the bad times. We thank you for the lessons. We thank you for your blessings, Father. We ask that you just continue to grow us the way that you want us to be, Father, and that we submit to your will. And when we go to the left or to the right, Father, you chastise us. Bring us back to your path and your loving kindness. Your word said you wouldn't lose one, Father. Father, we ask that you just strengthen us so we can endure to the end. In Yahushua HaMashiach's name we pray. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, family. It's your brother Daywell. Todai Ki. This your brother Daywell, and magnify the Torah, make it honorable. And today we're going to be talking about the brain. You know, I was with my brother Yakel the other day, and, you know, I was thinking about, as I was thinking about the brain, I remembered the cartoon show growing up called The Animaniacs. And that's what that was the intro that y'all heard, where it was two mice. It was Pinky and the Brain. So this one time, they were actually breaking down the actual parts and naming the parts of the brain. So the one part that I remembered was Pinky always going, brainstem, because the whole thing was, you know, it was, you know, cantal races. So every time they get the doodah, he yelling, brainstem, and the part that I remember, Shiaka was like, man, you want me to put this on for the intro? I said, yes, that would be wonderful. You know, so I hope y'all enjoyed it. But that's basically what we're going to do today, because today is an overview, basically like an overview. We're going to look into the different regions of the brain. And when we come back again for the next 6 weeks, unless Abba tell me otherwise, we're going to look a little deeper into each part of the brain and what it's responsible for. But this, we're going to talk about one part in particular today, because there's something Zakin Eliezer talked about, and he always said this: keep Yah in the forefront of your mind. Zakin, that was, man, that was his go-to. He should have coined it, you know. But that was always his advice. You know, whatever you're going through, whatever struggles you have, whatever life's thrown at you, keep Yah at the forefront of your mind. And you get them. All right. So I'm gonna send some links out again. And one of the links is gonna be from last week, but it's just gonna take you to another part of all right, wait a minute. Let me do this. All right. I just sent the first link out. It's for the Ask a Biologist, again, Arizona State University. Somebody just throw me a thumbs up if you got it, if you see it. And the heading of it is, what are the regions of the brains and what do they do? All right, Todaki. And thank y'all brothers last week for forwarding those links so everybody can be on point together. I hope everybody, you know, because the main reason I'm forwarding them or sending them out is because of the pictures. And it actually shows and breaks down, you know, the way we learn. You know, the way we learn, we're visual, we're verbal, you know, and pictures add to the learning, to me, personally, you know. But it says, what are the regions of the brains and what do they do? The brain has many different parts. The brain also has specific areas that do certain types of work. These areas are called lobes. One lobe works with your eyes when watching a movie. There's a lobe that is controlling your legs and arms for running and kicking a soccer ball. There are two lobes that are involved with reading and writing. Your memories of a favorite event are kept by the same lobe that helps you on a math test. The brain is controlling all of these things and a lot more. Use the map below to take a tour of the regions in your brain and learn what they control in your body, right? So, you know, you see the map right there. It says brain work. The brain is a very busy organ. It is the control center for the body. And remember, all the senses report to the brain. All right? Now, if we are the body, Mashiach is the head. And that's what the word says, right? He's the brains of the outfit. We all are his senses. We are the information gatherers for himself. So think about for himself. So think about when Moshe, Yahushua, had Moshe sent the spies out into the land, right? They were supposed to bring back a report of what the land was like. In other words, they were supposed to go out and gather all this information about the land. Now, two of them came back with a good report. 10 of them came back with the bad report, right? What happens when your brain, when your senses do not function correctly? So it gives your brain bad information, right? It gives your brain bad information, and it causes your brain to make bad judgments, because if the information is wrong, then the decisions that the brain makes based on the information that it's getting will be wrong. Now I'm talking about, what we're with Yahushua, because Yahushua told our Abba, Abba always judges correctly, right? Because the word says he tries the spirit and he searches the spirit and he goes and it says, excuse me, the depths of it, all right? So before, all right, if you're bringing back bad information, all right, wait a minute. Why is this information, why is my touch not feeling correctly? So let me go fix the problem. That's how Yahushua functions, right? He's the autocorrect of the body, all right? If y'all following me, all right? It says, the brain is a very busy organ. It is the control center for the body. It runs your organs, such as your heart and lungs. It is also busy working with other parts of your body. All of your senses, sight, smell, hearing, touch, and taste, depend on your brain. Tasting food with the senses on your tongue is only possible if the signals from your taste buds are sent to the brain. Once in the brain, the signals are decoded. The sweet flavor of an orange is only sweet if the brain tells you it is. All right, then you got the different parts. You have the frontal lobe, movement of the body, and these are the different things that it's responsible for. Movement of the body, personality, concentration, planning, problem solving, meaning of words, emotional reactions, speech, and smell. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later, because that's the forefront of your brain, right? That's where Abba says, that's where Zaken, I just called my Zaken Abba, which he is like our Abba. That's where Zaken Eliezer, and he gave that fatherly advice. You know, he did. That's when he told us to keep Yah at the front of our brain, right? Then you have the partial lobe, touch and pressure, taste, body awareness. The temporal lobe has hearing, recognizing faces, emotion, long-term memory. The optical lobe, strictly sight. The cerebellum is Latin for little brain. 5 fine motor skills, which is your muscles, muscle control, balance and coordination, right? Then you have the limbic node, and this controls your emotions, like happiness, sadness, and love, right? So, this is talking about brainwaves. How do you tell if the brain is working? What is it doing, and how do you measure it? The headgear on the right that looks like it's a work of science fiction measures electrical activity in the brain. These electrical waves are called brain waves, and it's no different than that lightning that we saw last night, if y'all saw it, because I saw it. Not last night. Well, yeah, last night, too. Last night and the night before. You know, that lightning, like I said, it scared me. It says, when neurons send a signal, they use electrical currents, to pass messages to other nearby neurons. Just one or two neurons signaling is too small a change to be noticed. When a huge group of neurons signal at once, however, they can be recorded and measured with the help of special tools. Measuring electrical activity in the brain is usually done with electrodes. Electrodes are devices able to record electrical changes over time. These are attached to the surface of the skin in specific places around the head. Recording of brain wave activity look like a series of waves. These are called electroencephalograms, or EEGs for short. We're going to call it EEGs from now on. Says, measuring activity in the brain can be a very useful tool in scientific studies. It can also be used to help identify sleeping disorders and other medical conditions relating to the brain. The first human EEG recorded in 1924 by Hans Berger. All right. Now, if you go down to the yellow section and tap "What is your brain?" And we're going to read in this section a little bit. It says, what are the parts of the brain? It says, every second of every day, the brain is collecting and sending out signals from and to the parts of your body. It keeps everything working, even when we are sleeping at night. Here you take a quick tour of this amazing control center. You can see each part and later learn what areas are involved with different tasks. It says brain cells. There are two types of cells in your brains. Neurons and glial cells. Glia is the Greek word for glue. It says, for a long time, biologists have thought that the neurons were the only cells that control our bodies and were also where our memories are kept. Glia cells were just in the brain to support neurons, insulate them, and provide nutrition and do basic housekeeping. New research is beginning to show that glial cells are doing more than these jobs. Right? It says, now, if you look at the, it's not on this one. When we go to the next one, now, this just goes over the other parts of the brain where the guy was it was naming. It shows down at the bottom, after you go here, it shows the different parts of the brain anatomy. But I wanted to read about this glia cell, right? It says support, because it's a little video there showing a glia cell and what it does. But it says support. Glia cells act as a physical support and protection for neurons. So your neurons are actually wrapped around, the glia cell wraps around the neurons and insulates it, right? It says it supports and protects the neurons. They also keep the blood-brain barrier, which prevents toxic chemicals in the blood from entering the brain. So it's protecting because our blood, we know our body, our blood has filters, right? But sometimes we eat and things get within us that can actually mess with our brain, right? So if these neurons aren't firing correctly and the signal is getting messed up, our brain, like we was talking about, we don't want the information to be messed up, right, that we are collecting with the senses. Part of that is the neurons have to fire correctly. Well, I've designed this cell, this glia cell, which is a glue, but the fact that it's called glue, right, it helps it stick together, right? It's helping these neurons stay together by protecting it, wrapping itself around it, right? It helps and keeps it firing, right? So it protects it. Now, also it says nutrition. The glia cell can help keep the environment around the neurons in balance and make sure the right nutrients are available for the neurons. So it's like a filter. It's keeping the bad stuff out and actually nurturing the brain and letting the good stuff in. It says insulation. Glia cells create a myelin, a fatty substance that helps insulate the axons of neurons. This helps keep electrical signals inside the neuron and help them move faster. Housekeeping. Glia cells can prevent the buildup of toxic chemicals, help destroy viruses and bacteria, and get rid of dead neurons. Because as we get older, these neurons dull, right? And they were actually looking into the regeneration of neurons, right? Scientists believe, they're not for sure yet, but they believe that that the neurons actually revitalize over time. You know, the body heals itself. That's the truth of the matter. It wouldn't be no different with these neurons, but it's a very slow process. So it's not something that you would see instantaneously, you know. It's not like, you know, how you cut your hand and a couple of days later it's healed. You know, the blood clots up and the scar forms, the scab forms, and this, that, and another, and it's healed. It's not like that. The neurons take a lot longer, you know. That's why it's very important to support, you know, your whole body, not just your brain, but your whole body, but especially your brain. You know, you want to eat the quote-unquote brain foods, you know, stuff that helps, and especially things that help filter your blood. You know, you want to keep them kidneys clean, you know, want to keep think about it, you know. Why did Abba give us a dietary law? You know, don't eat this. Don't eat that. Eat that. I don't want dirt inside this body, inside of this temple. One, because I'm dwelling there. Two, he literally says, you defile yourself with the stuff you eat. You cause yourself not to function correctly with the stuff you eat. right? Outside of it being a spiritual thing, right? So I'm gonna send out another link. Hope everybody's following. I'm gonna send out another link, and this is from John Hopkins, right? Y'all just let me know when you got it. Right. And the heading for this is Brain Anatomy and How the Brain Works. So that Keith. All right. This is from John Hopkins. Brain Anatomy and How the Brain Works. It says, what is the brain? The brain is a complex organ that controls thought, memory, emotion, touch, motor skills, vision, breathing, temperature, hunger, and every process that regulates our body. Together, the brain and the spinal cord that extends from it make up the central nervous system, or CNS. What is the brain made of? Weighing about 3 pounds in the average adult, the brain is about 60% fat. The remaining 40% is a combination of water, protein, carbohydrates, and salts. The brain itself is not a muscle. It contains blood vessels and nerves, including neurons and glia cells, you know, the glue cells. It says, what is the gray matter and white matter? So if y'all ever heard the terms, the gray matter of the brain, right? If you ever heard the gray matter, at the term the gray matter of the brain, it's about to break down what that is. And this part is like you say, when I was reading about the actual neuron and the glia cells and all that, that's the part that really got me. It says, gray and white matter are two different regions of the central nervous system. In the brain, gray matter refers to the darker outer portion, while the white matter describes the lighter inner section underneath. In the spinal cord, this order is reversed. The white matter is on the outside, and the gray matter sits within. Gray matter is primarily composed of neuron somas, the round central cell bodies, and white matter is mostly made of axons, the long stems that connect neurons together. So if you look underneath the neuron, it says neuron anatomy, it shows exactly what they are, right? It says, the long stem cells that connect neurons together wrapped in myelin, a protective coating. The different compositions of neuron parts is why the two appear as separate shades in central scans. Now, if you look at that, the anatomy of the neuron, because this is how it looks. To me, it looks like a tree taking root. It just looked like a bunch of roots here, there, and everywhere, right? And you got all this going on in your brain, and these up here at the end of summer, it just has lightning jumping back and forth and back and forth and back and forth to send all these signals. It says, and then on top of it, the melon, the myelin, that's like the bark because it protects the actual pathway that the signal goes from, because it goes from the one end to the other. And as we read, we're going to read about how the gray matter and the white matter actually interact with one another. One part receives the signal, and the other, and it when it receives the signal, it sends it, the gray matter receives the signal because it's on the outside. And it takes that information and sends it to the white matter. And then the white matter actually decides and says, okay, it makes a decision and then sends it back out. And then your body reacts. Right? It's it says each reason serves a different role. Gray matter is primarily responsible for processing and interpreting information, while the white matter transmits that information to other parts of the nervous system. So, say you eat, right? You're eating something. Tastes good, smell good. You smell the aroma of it. Smells good to you. Put it in your mouth, you taste it. So after those chemicals start to break it down, it sends all that information, and then it hits the gray matter. The gray matter is saying, okay, it tastes pleasant, it smells pleasant, we like this. This is a nice sensor. And so it sends that information to the white matter. So the white matter says, okay, because you like all this, say, say, oh, this tastes good. This is delicious. You know, it sends that response back out. Now think about that information to get a response. It's like your brain, your brain is counseling itself, because this is all the brain, right? But the gray matter of the brain, which is on the outside, is counseling the white matter of the brain, which is on the inside. Or let's say it like this. The gray matter of the brain, which can be seen, is counseling the white matter of the brain, which can't be seen. Now, what are we supposed to learn spiritually about that? What are we supposed to learn spiritually about that? You know, because the only way you're going to see the white matter is if you cut through the gray matter. That's it. That's the only way, because the gray matter is on the outside. But it counsels, it's counseling, right? But it says, how does the brain work? Next section. It says, how does the brain work? It says, the brain sends and receives chemical and electrical signals throughout the body. Different signals control different processes, and your brain interprets each. Some make you feel tired, for example, while others make you feel pain. Some messages are kept within the brain, while others are relayed through the spine and across the body's vast network of nerves to distant extremities. To do this, the central nervous system relies on billions of neurons and the nerve cells. It says, what main parts of the brain? Main parts of the brain and their functions. It says, at a high level, the brain can be divided into the cerebellum, cerebrum, brainstem, and cerebellum. Sorry about that. The cerebrum, which is the front of the brain, right? That's that frontal lobe, comprises gray matter, the cerebral cortex, and white matter as the center. The largest part of the brain, the cerebrum, initiates and coordinates movements and regulates temperatures. Other areas of the cerebrum enable speech, judgment, thinking and reasoning, problem solving, emotions, and learning. Other functions relate to vision, hearing, touch, and other senses. And this is exactly where Zach Ken said, keep your eye at the forefront of your mind. Now think about this, y'all, because what did we learn about the Passover, right? And that mark was made. It said the side post and the lintel. We learned the side post was your ears, right? Was your hearing. But the lintel was the forefront of your mind. And this is where we're supposed to keep Yah at, right? We're supposed to keep him in the process of our movements, the process of our speech, our judgment, our thinking and reasoning, our problem solving, our emotions, our learning, our vision, our hearing, our touch. You know, it's the largest part also that controls all these different things, right? So the big portion belongs to the Most High. That's what's supposed to be. Yah is supposed to be dominating this part of our brain, right? And he dominates all of us, but especially this part, right? Because this part of the brain is where our quote-unquote day-to-day activities are managed for the most part. You know? It says cerebral cortex. Cortex is Latin for bark and describes the outer gray matter covering of the cerebral. The cortex has a large surface area due to its folds and comprises about half of the brain's weight. The cerebral cortex is divided into two halves or hemispheres. It is covered with ridges, gyri, and folds, sulci. The two halves join at a large, deep sulcus, the interhemispheric fissure, a.k.a. the medial longitudinal fissure. So where your brain is, you got two halves, but split right down the middle is a gap. That's what they're talking about. It's a gap right down the middle of your brain. It's a connection right there. And if you ever seen a whole walnut, because a walnut has two halves to it, but it's connected in the middle, that's how your brain looks. Literally. You know, if you shell a walnut and you don't break the don't break the walnut in pieces, the walnut is actually connected, and it looks like your brain, because it's when you take the whole shell, it's connected, and it's a big gap right down the middle of the walnut with a small piece connecting it. It says the two halves join a large, deep sulcus into hemispherical fissure, a.k.a. the medial longitudinal fissure that runs from the front of the head to the back. The right hemisphere controls the left side of the body, and the left half controls the right side of the body. The two halves communicate with one another through a large C-shaped structure of white matter and nerve pathways called the corpus callosum. The corpus callosum is in the center of the cerebrum, right? Brainstem. The brainstem, or the middle of the brain, connects the cerebrum with the spinal cord. The brainstem includes the midbrain, the pons, and the medulla, all right? So this part of your brain is actually connected to your spinal cord, and that's how the signals get transmitted, you know, to go down your back all the way down to your spine, right? It says midbrain. The midbrain, or mesencephalone, is a very complex structure with a range of different neuron clusters, nuclei, and cochlea, neuron pathways, neural pathways, and other structures. These features facilitate various functions from hearing and movement to calculating responses and environmental changes. The midbrain also contains the substantia nigra, an area affected by Parkinson's disease is rich in dopamine neurons and part of the basal ganglia, which enables movement and coordination. So we read about dopamine last week with touch, right? So one of the things is, like, when we damage ourselves, the brain releases dopamine, which is like a, it's like morphine. It's a painkiller, you know, but it also serves in making you, bringing about nice feelings, right? It brings about nice feelings while it's dulling the pain. Well, when people who have Parkinson's disease, that part of their body is damaged, you know? So it messes up, also messes up their coordination, right? Their movements and coordination. It says, the pons is in the origin of four of the 12 cranial nerves, which enable a range of activities such as tear production, blinking, focusing vision, balance, hearing, and facial expressions. Named for the Latin word for bridge, the pons is the connection between the midbrain and the medulla. The medulla at the bottom of the brain stem, the medulla is where the brain meets the spinal cord. The medulla is essential to survival. Functions of the medulla regulate many bodily activities, including heart rhythm, breathing, blood flow, and oxygen and carbon dioxide levels. Medulla produces reflexive activities such as sneezing, vomiting, coughing, and swallowing. Spinal cord extends from the bottom of the medulla and through a large opening in the bottom of the skull. Supported by the vertebrae, the spinal cord carries messages to and from the brain and the rest of the body. The cerebellum, or the little brain, is a fist-sized portion of the brain located at the back of the head, below the temporal and optical lobes, and above the brainstem. Like the cerebral cortex, it has two hemispheres. The outer portion contains neurons, and the inner area communicates with the cerebral cortex. Its function is to coordinate voluntary muscle movements and to maintain posture, balance, and equilibrium. New studies are exploring the cerebellum's roles in thoughts, emotion, and social behavior, as well as its possibly involvement in addiction, autism, and schizophrenia. All right? So you're looking into this stuff. All right? We're going to skip this part, right, and drop down to where it says lobes of the brain and what they control. It says each brain hemisphere, parts of the cerebrum, has four sections called lobes: frontal, partial, temporal, and occipital. Each lobe controls specific functions. The frontal lobe, again, largest part of the brain, located in the front of the head. The frontal lobe is involved in personality characteristics, decision-making, and movement. Recognition of smell usually involves parts of the frontal lobe. The frontal lobe contains Broca's area, which is associated with speech ability. The partial lobe, the middle part of the brain. The partial lobe helps a person identify objects and understand spatial relationships where one's body is compared with objects around the person. The partial lobe is also involved in interpreting brain and touch in the body. interpreting pain and touch in the body. The partial lobe houses Wernicke's area, which helps the brain understand spoken language. The optical lobe is the back part of the brain that is involved with vision. And then you have the temporal lobe, the size of the brain. Temporal lobes are involved in short-term memory, speech, musical rhythm, and some degree of smell recognition. So, again, they're breaking the brain down again, but why did they have to break it down in four parts? You have the four parts of the brain at its base, you know. Just odd, but just all over the place with this one, right? Then it gets into the glands, and we're not going to go into that. We'll get into that the next time. But please read it on your own if you feel like it, all right? We're going to drop down again. It says, blood supply to the brain, right? It says, two sets of blood vessels supply blood and oxygen to the brain. The vertebral arteries and the carotid arteries. The external carotid arteries extend up the sides of your neck and are where you can feel your pulse when you touch the area of your fingertips. The internal carotid arteries into the skull and circulate blood on the front part of the brain. The vertebral arteries follow the spinal column into the skull, where they join together at the brainstem and form the basilar artery, which supplies blood to the rear portions of the brain. The circle of Willis, a loop of blood vessels near the bottom of the brain that connects major arteries, circulate blood from the front of the brain to the back and helps the arterial systems communicate with one another. In other words, your brain is constantly being covered in blood and constantly being nurtured at all times through these arteries. And it's just two arteries that just constantly fills your head with blood, right? Now, again, like we talked about, what if that blood is corrupted? What is it going to do to your thinking if your blood is not filtered, if it's not clean? What is it going to do with your thinking? What type of signals are you going to be sending? What type of information are you going to be receiving? Right? So, again, y'all, just wanted to go over the regions of the brain. This was just an overview, as I believe, please, I'm going to look a little deeper into what each part of the brain does. You know, this was just an overview, and it's going to give, you know, it's going to lead to the next segue, you know, Albert Willis. But think about how Albert designed this. We got two halves to the brain, right? The left side controls the right side. The right side controls the left side, our left side of the body. So it's actually switched. Our brain breaks down into four parts. The biggest part is right in the front. And this is where Abba said he's going to seal his people. When you look in Revelation, he said, I'm going to put my seal right on their foreheads, right on the biggest part. Right? But then the mark of the beast, he said he's going to seal his people on his forehead or on their hand. You know? So it's a battle for your brain. It's a battle for the way you function, right? Because the brain interprets the signals that the other senses bring. You know, if that interpretation is a good interpretation, you're going to do godly things. If it's a bad interpretation, you're going to do the things of the world, the things of Satan. You know? So, let's go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Ain't no Romans chapter 20. If you find Romans chapter 20, you good. Scheme. Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12:14. And it reads, "For the body is not one member, but many." And we can see that even just looking at our senses, it's not just one member, you know. Nothing functions on itself. You know, like one of my brothers said, no man is an island. You don't function by yourself, even within our brain. There's no such thing as independence. Everything is interdependent. It says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were smelling? But now hath Yah set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee, no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." Can you imagine? And just think about it. Think about how he designed the body. What happens when those little neurons, these little tiny, tiny neurons, which are when you compare it to the brain, they just little parts that stick up out of the brain. But that's what transmits the signals. What happens when they die? When they fall off? The signals aren't that, you know, the thing that seems feeble. What happens if that middle bone in your ear, which is the smallest bone in the body, breaks, snaps? Now you have a problem with your hearing, right? So there is no such thing as a little part, you know? Even if your fingernail, you take that back too far, your body is in pain, you know? So there is no small parts. And he's saying that in relation to the assembly. Don't think of yourself as a little person, or don't think of yourself as a big person. Think of yourself as a person fitting within the house of Yahushua. He's the cornerstone, your building block, and you fit however you fit. Like the old saying goes, get in where you fit in. All right? So that's it, family, for the day. I hope everybody let Abba speak to him and allow his voice in your ear and you hear what he had to say. You know, I pray that he continue to grow us and give us what we need, what's expedient and what's proficient for us right now. Not too much, not too little. All right? We're going to close out. Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. But you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all your words. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, soon coming King, Father, we thank you for allowing us to see another day. We thank you for the Shabbat. We ask that you forgive us for our sins and that you hear our prayer. Thank you, Abba, once again for setting this time apart and coming to visit us, Father, and allowing us to visit you. Father, thank you for keeping us, blessing us, healing us, teaching us, protecting our past, Father, warning us, Father, chastising us when we don't listen. Thank you for everything that you do for us, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to reveal your word to us, continue to allow us to get a little closer to you, Abba, continue to give us what we need, Abba, our daily bread, in all ways. Father, we ask that you continue to bless us and keep us, watch after our children, and watch after all of Israel, Father, all that call upon your name, continue to heal us, continue to strengthen us, continue to grow us, continue to be that loving Father. And Father, we just thank you for your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, and all the things that he's done, giving us an example, showing us the way to you, that we can all be one big family, one big happy family, Abba. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. See y'all a little bit later.
cause so